Water is essential to life, but also agriculture, industry, and energy. It is the foundation of modern civilization, but ever-rising consumption and climate change have many worried there won't be enough to go around. Meanwhile, sea level rise and extreme weather threaten some areas with disaster. How can we avoid conflict and build peace? How can we ensure everyone has what they need to survive and thrive as we march toward a global population of more than 9 billion? You're listening to Friday Podcasts from the Environmental Change and Security Program at the Wilson Center. In this special series, Water Stories, produced with support from USAID, we interview experts and practitioners from around the world to hear how people are thinking about and addressing water, peace, and conflict challenges. I'm Sean Peoples, and in this interview, we'll hear from Doris Kiberia, the chief of party for the Kenya Rapid Program.
I work with Millennium Water Alliance, which is a coalition of 16 international NGOs that do water sanitation and hygiene all over the world. And one of the key programs that I manage as a chief of party is called Kenya Rapid. It's an acronym, Kenya Resilient Arid Lands Partnership for Integrated Development, which brings public, private sector partners together and governments together to manage water resources, particularly in the northern part of Kenya where water is really scarce. It's mostly inhabited by pastoralists, and it happens northern Kenya is actually 3/4 of Kenya in terms of landmass.
Was there a preceding project that came before it?
Sure, yeah, there was. In 2011, there was a major drought in Kenya. And during this major drought, there were many lives that were lost, many livestock as well in those pastoral regions. So governments came together, including United States, and discussed that drought, people should not let the drought become a disaster. And so the countries in all Horn of Africa came together and signed into something they call Ending Drought Emergencies by 2020, which means that when a drought comes, it should not get to a level where a lot of human lives are lost, or it should not get to a level where, you know, there is a lot of vulnerability, children having malnourishment, or women, you know, who are lactating, or women who are pregnant getting affected. So this Ending Drought Emergencies is actually what led USAID to design a program that brings humanitarian sector and development sector together, such that we work with those that use a lot of money during humanitarian response. People need food, people need water, people need all kind of basic needs. So instead of allowing, you know, drought to get people to that level of vulnerability, we work to address the underlying causes of vulnerability. And so that's how another program called Kenya Disaster Risk Reduction, Water Sanitation and Hygiene was designed, with funding from humanitarian sector, that is Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance, $4 million, and then another $4 million from USAID. So actually these are two USAID departments working together. And they had to do this because I understood Hillary Clinton asked the mission, why are we spending all this amount of money on humanitarian assistance? What is the development side of the agency doing? So that's how, before they really don't put money in the same basket. The people in OFDA do their things, people in USAID do their things. So this program really allowed them to work together. And it was a big success because we not only addressed the water-related shocks, but it was really integrated with health. So working in health facilities, because women, when they are about to deliver, actually had to carry 20 liters jerrycan to go to a maternity to deliver. You can imagine someone who is in labor carrying water and looking for water. Yeah, so looking at health facilities that other health programs work, we went there and improved what we call wash conditions. Wash conditions is water sanitation and hygiene conditions, because sometimes even the medics have to defecate in the open because there are no sanitation facilities. And without water, really these health facilities cannot operate to the optimum. And most of the maternity wards are actually closed because the public health demands that without water, you can't operate a maternity. How can you? Yeah, so that's how it was. Just this program, it was just 2 years that we implemented successfully. Then it led to Kenya Rapid program.
It sounds like there's a desire to connect issues of health through water, security, human security issues, sanitation issues, the wash side of things. There's a more holistic kind of approach to how you're tackling empowering and uplifting communities. How do you get from wanting to take care of maybe one sector, like we just need the health to improve, or we want the water to improve, to coming to a more holistic approach? Is that something that evolved, or is that something you and your colleagues knew had to tackle holistically the issues to actually improve livelihoods?
It's a very good question. This is not something we knew from the beginning. It is a lesson that we learned during the previous 2-year program, the KDRR WASH program, Kenya Arid Land Disaster Risk Reduction WASH program. We learned 4 key lessons, and it happens that multi-sectoral integration is very, very critical for impact, because you cannot disengage or you cannot separate water and health, for example. People need safe drinking water for them to be healthy. If you look at diarrhea-related diseases in a country like Kenya, when it comes to under 5, it's actually number 1 cause of death for children who are under 5. And so having safe water and connecting it with health, in this case, good health, is very, very important. The reason why we felt multi-sectoral integration is very key and you have to integrate water is because we realize that you need water for multiple uses. And different users of water, whether you're in health facilities, whether you are in schools, education facilities, whether it's agricultural, whether it's pastoralism, there has to be calculation of water demand. And you look at holistic water resource that you have, such that you match resource and the water demand. Otherwise, there is always competition for water. People in health facilities need water. People who are farming need water. People with livestock, especially the pastoralists, will always demand for water for their livestock. And so to avoid competition for water, there has to be an holistic way that we connect all these sectors together. And each sector tries to look at their own view of water demand and then consider the available water resource. Because what is happening in places like Kenya, we have over 40 million people. The water is so scarce. In pastoralist areas where we work, especially in the northern part of Kenya, it's a very, very dry area. We call it arid and semi-arid lands, where the rainfall is not often equally distributed and temporarily is not distributed well. We receive about less than 400 millimeters per year. And so water storage becomes very, very critical. And conservation of water and bringing people together becomes very, very critical. So I would say it's one of the 4 lessons. The other lesson that we learned actually is that involvement of communities and empowerment of communities to manage the resource, water resource, leads to sustainability. The third lesson we learned was that we need to involve the private sector, partners in water resource management and in all discussions regarding water security. And so involvement of private sector, particularly in the northern part of Kenya, where the infrastructure is very limited, there is no electricity, there is no good roads, the private sector partners are really not excited to go and invest there. So providing incentives and looking at private sector engagement and looking and focusing at the role that they can play in water management is very, very critical. The other part that we learned was that the other fourth lesson that we learned was that, you know, linking humanitarian and development sectors is critical for sustainability of water resources. Instead of people working in silos, those who are in humanitarian sector focusing on response, disaster response, and then those in development focusing on underlying causes, you know, of drought or poverty, bringing them these two together is very critical. So those were the four lessons we learned during the previous program, but they also defined the direction for the Kenya Rapid program.
When you go about involving the private sector, for someone just starting out, a practitioner or someone who thinks that in their project, in their water project, in their holistic development project, could use private sector involvement. Describe how you go about actually doing a public-private partnership. How do you actually make sure that it's a two-way street where you're actually both adding value to a community? How do you get a private sector on board? Like you say, incentives. I wanted to go a little deeper. I mean, what was your experience? Describe how you and your project, Kenya Rapid, were able to link up public and private.
Yeah, I would say it was a tough experience, bearing in mind that Millennium Water Alliance had not done another PPP program before. So during design, after realizing the need to bring private sector in the northern part of Kenya to support management of water resources, we actually had to reach out to different companies. And I can tell you it was tough because the way development practitioners think and the way private sector think and the way government think is totally different. The private sector partners were always asking, what is the business for me? If I go to Northern Kenya with that level of insecurity, because, you know, in Northern Kenya, apparently they neighbor very fragile states like Somalia, like Ethiopia, and terrorism is very, very common. So the private sector partners like Davis and Shatliff, which is one of the biggest company that distribute water pumps and other water equipment in Africa, always keep asking, I need a business model. Where are the small, medium enterprises? Where is the opportunity for me to make money? And so, unlike development practitioners, we look at the issue and we see water is scarce. We want to avail water for free, but it costs money. And we had to call several private sector-led meetings, including involving the former president of Kenya, President Kibaki, the third president of Kenya. He had to support Millennium Water Alliance to call big actors in private sector. When I call big actors, I mean people like Coca-Cola, people like Safaricom, people like Davis and Shatliff, people like, you know, big companies that operate in Kenya. And to surprise you, one of the key questions that the third president asked people like Coca-Cola, what is it for you when we improve water service delivery in northern part of Kenya? How is it benefiting your company? And actually, I was shocked when the Coca-Cola company president, said, Dr. Susan Boyer said, Coke needs only two things to operate. One of them is sun and water. Water, because the Coke that you drink, 3/4 of that is actually water. Whereas they need the sun for people to sweat and dust for Coke. And so for me, actually, I did not even realize I didn't realize before that companies like Coke actually need water. Yeah. And so for them, the water footprint is that they want to give back and want to ensure sustainability of supply of water for them to be able to make Coke, because 3/4 of Coke is water. And so you look at companies and industries, you will realize that most of the industries also need water for their manufacturing, for cooling of machines. And so if you approach it from the end that why do you need sustainable supply of water as a company, they will always link. But if you just approach it, oh yeah, where do you make business, then they don't see the business link because they have to look at numbers and profitability. So in Kenya Rapid, we have people like Coca-Cola Foundation, we have people like IBM, which is a data-driven, I would say, company that is really supporting us on decision-making. And when approaching the county government, because Kenya now has devolution, and devolution is what you have here, like you have a FENRO, and then you have the state. So we have the national government, then we have the county government. So the county government are also new, and they do not have a PPP policy or a PPP act. The national government do have a public-private sector law that creates enabling environment, but the counties are new. So Kenya Rapid, we as NGOs or civil society, working with counties to see the need of why they need to encourage private sector to invest, and working with private sector partners to see the other side. I mean, see the market, see the places we work as a potential market, really can create dynamism and can also attract them to come and invest. Yes.
So does working as a public-private partnership change the definition of success? You know, if it was just a development organization or a community organization trying to uplift and empower a community versus a public-private partnership that's working in concert, how does the success of that project change? Or does it? Does it change at all?
I think PPP can be a good success factor, especially when it comes to sustainability of interventions. In this case, water interventions. When you look at private sector partners coming in to do operation and maintenance, coming in to assure that the service delivery is sustained, and then the government playing their role as right bearers. You know, governments do not go fixing boreholes. The private sector partners fix boreholes. So giving and placing the private sector actors at their place and the government creating an enabling environment, then the NGOs or civil society facilitating, linking, providing linkages can really provide success. And I can give an example. Davis and Shatliff that supplies pumps, if you look at the analysis of all the boreholes they have supported in the past, 50% of those are not functioning. The reasons are many. It's mixed governance. It's due to poor operation and maintenance. Davis and Shatliff don't want to be associated with 50% borehole failure. They also want a success. So bringing them on board to support, you know, especially in servicing of these boreholes, in operation and maintenance, becomes a success factor. And then the communities access water on continuous basis as opposed to breaking down. Yeah.
How do you think the partnership in Kenya Rapid, specifically this public-private partnership where you are, how do you think that that model helps build a more conflict-sensitive type of development?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, Kenya Rapid actually brings together over 20 actors. We have three key governments. That is the USAID, you know, the United States government, the Swiss government through the Swiss Development Corporation. We are also working with the Dutch government and Dutch private sector actors, working with the national government of Kenya and 5 county governments, and then 4 Millennium Water Alliance partners like CARE, World Vision, Food for the Hungry, and Catholic Relief Services. And then we have close to 10 private sector actors like Coca-Cola that I mentioned before, Aqua for All, Acacia Water, Sweet Sense, which is an American small company producing solar sensors. bringing all these partners together to cooperate in targeting the five counties is complex. But even more complex when it goes to complex environments in the northern part of Kenya, where the complexity is due to very high poverty levels, you know, over 80% of the people living there actually are poor and food insecure. The climate change there is very, very common, with frequency of droughts between 2 to 3 years. And so what we are trying to address is increasing the water storage, you know, during the time of rainfall, like collecting rainwater, but also recharging the aquifers. This prevents conflict because during the drought period is the time pastoralists are moving from one place to another to search for water and pasture. But if we create a buffer or we increase the water storage during the rainy season, it minimizes level of conflict because there is enough water. Number two, Kenya Rapid is working with other USAID funded programs through a very coordinated mechanism called Partnership for Resilience and Economic Growth, which is PREG model. PREG model brings 16 USAID interventions, which focuses on livestock, focuses on resilience, focuses on nutrition, even peace, focusing on peace. And so Kenya Rapid tries to use a conflict-sensitive programming. We aim to do a do-no-harm approach and conflict-sensitive, assessment at the beginning, looking at the connectors and the dividers, especially in places like, let me give an example with the Moyale Market. Moyale Market, the location where it's located actually used to be the battleground between two warring communities, you know. And RIGO AG, which is a resilience and economic growth program funded by USAID, built the market. Whereas Kenya Rapid came and provided water facilities, wash facilities in the market. And then in the neighboring homes, we also connected people to the pipeline and built a water kiosk. So now, you may be surprised that actually the market now is acting as a healing, as a healing infrastructure or a healing ground. Because when people come there, of course, they are coming there to sell goods and services, to get water and other things. But the Livestock Marketing Association, Water User Association, is actually comprised of different community members that were initially fighting for water and other resources within the livestock market. Yeah, so I would say that in one way or the other, working with other PREG partners, especially Peace 3 being implemented by Mercy Corps, working with, you know, RIGO AG, RIGO IL, World Food Program, we have been able to minimize conflicts together. And in the example that I give, Moyale becomes a model of how different interventions can bring people together and how peace can be created through a livestock market by bringing communities together to manage the market and manage their water resources.
I feel like a lot of the stuff you're saying is a lot of learned lessons, a lot of things over years where Kenya Rapid isn't just a product of all these different partnerships. It's also a product of lessons learned, knowledge, a shared knowledge, people coming together. At the end of the day, what do you think it takes to have a project like this work?
What makes Kenya Rapid to be, a new project that is really intended to make a difference? It's because of the fact that we have multi-sectoral integration and we have multiple partners, multiple governments coming together with expertise, with financial resources and with knowledge, you know, a long-term knowledge and relationship with communities and with the counties that we are working in. I can give you an example. The Millennium Water Alliance members like CARE that is working in Garissa has been there since 1968. So you can see it's cumulative experience working at the community level, knowing the communities and building relationship with these communities. But number two, also Kenya Rapid focuses on effective devolution. And as I mentioned earlier on, effective devolution has to do with devolving of functions. Some of the functions that were devolved or decentralized from the national government is like water, like health, like agriculture. So when it comes to devolved function, the counties have a mandate like to progressively demonstrate that water as a right, because also Kenyan constitution recognizes water as a right under Article 43. And it says every Kenyan has a right to reasonable standards of water and sanitation. And then when you look at counties' mandate, it says the counties will have to demonstrate how this right is progressively met. And so what makes Kenya Rapid unique there is the fact that we allow counties to drive the process. The program is county-owned, county-driven, and county-led. And this is really demonstrated by the governance structure. At the national level, we have the five county ministers driving what we call program steering committee, bringing all the actors, the 14 actors that I talked about earlier on, together on semi-annual basis, discussing issues and discussing challenges and how this partnership can move forward. The same case, the counties through the water ministers are also at the county level driving what we call county program steering committee, which brings all sectors together, the water, the health, and the education. And they meet on monthly or bi-monthly basis, and they look at the water issues within the county. They look at their budget. They look at multi-sectoral planning, but also multi-sectoral implementation. And also they monitor together. They learn lessons together. So that's make Kenya Rapid very, very, very unique because of putting government at the center.
You've been listening to Friday Podcasts from the Wilson Center. Thanks for tuning in. For more information, follow us on Twitter @NewSecurityBeat and visit our website, newsecuritybeat.org.